Now, you might say to yourself, well, I don't believe we're under a curse, and I'll prove it to you. We have in the United States what we call high school yearbooks. You guys have those? Pictures of what we all looked in high school. High school ended about age 18. And what I can do is pick out my modern day driver's license picture and put it next to my yearbook, and I see that there's some changes in my body. My body is deteriorating. The mortality rate is still 100%. All of us are going back into the dust from which we came. And the wonderful thing about the rapture is the point in time where people are placed in bodies as God intended. Bodies without the curse, bodies that don't age, bodies that don't get sick, bodies that don't get cancer, bodies without broken bones, bodies without aches and pains, etc., etc., etc. If we are the rapture generation, then in a nanosecond, according to these verses I read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15, we are placed in those glorified bodies. And those that are with the Lord now, descending, are placed in glorified bodies as well. And there's a giant reunion in the sky. So I don't know about you, as I get older, I look more and more forward to the rapture. Because it's the promise of God that according to the grace package He's given us, I'm promised one day a glorified body. When am I going to get it? At the point of the rapture. 1 second. Split second after the rapture. The rapture is something we should be looking forward to. Number one, it's a reunion. Number two, it's a resurrection. And then the third thing to understand about the rapture is it's a reward. And I won't go into a lot of information on this now because we already had a session earlier today on the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ, but it's the point in time where the Christian has the potential of being rewarded for God, by God, on the basis of God being allowed to express Himself through your life as He wants to during our earthly sojourn. So, living today rightfully before God as a Christian matters because it makes you a candidate for a reward. You remember the Apostle Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded." As we mentioned earlier today, this judgment is not to judge sin, it's not to determine salvation, but its sole purpose is rather to give or not give rewards. We've talked through, have we not, the five crowns that will be given or not given to various Christians 1 second after the rapture. And as we mentioned this morning, I hope this has a dramatic effect on how we live, because we're warned over and over about this judgment. We're told about it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15 says, "If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss." You ever suffered loss? Loss of a loved one, loss of a family member, even doing something as silly as pushing delete on a computer, losing all of your work. "If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." 1 John 2, verse 28 says, "Now little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him at His coming." See, the Scripture wants us to live in such a way that we're looking forward to the rapture. Because at the rapture, three things happen for the believer. A, reunion. B, resurrection. And C, the potential for reward. And so it's a monumental event in our future that we're looking forward to. Amen? But let's switch subjects here. What about for the unbeliever? What's in store for them? What is in store for this world that is left behind 1 second after the rapture? I have about 8 things to talk you through this afternoon. Number one, there I believe is going to be a very perverted explanation offered to explain away all of the missing people. This is sort of a question that comes up. If this rapture is true, if this rapture is real, how in the world is the world system going to explain away all of the missing? How is the world system going to explain away all of the believing that had been leaving because of the rapture? And what's interesting is if you get into the occult or the cults or the New Age movement, it's not long until you discover that they already have an explanation. And it's sort of interesting for me to observe that the occult and the cults and the demons believe in the rapture more than most pastors believe in it. They believe in it more than most theologians believe in it because they already have crafted an explanation to give to the world once the rapture happens. This is a quote here from Barbara Marx Hubbard, who passed away recently. She wrote a book called Revelation. It's not about the book of Revelation. It's about information that she received from her spirit guide. She was a high-ranking leader in what we call today the New Age movement. And her spirit guide, or her ascended master, gave her the explanation in this book related to how the world can explain away all of the missing people. Her spirit guide, of course, we believe was a demon masquerading as an angel of light. And notice what she writes here as her spirit guide is giving her information. Your unfinished species is ready to evolve. The time has come on earth for this quantum change to occur in many of you. Her spirit Christ further informed her, I cannot return until enough of you are attracted and linked. Hubbard's Christ explained, I did not intend for you to deify me, but to deify yourselves as being at the same stage of evolution as I am. Suffice it to say that if you do not choose to evolve into a wholesome, co-creative human being, then you shall not. The fundamental regression is self-centeredness, or the illusion that you are separate from God. I make war on self-centeredness. Furthermore, at the co-creative stage of evolution, one self-centered soul is like a lethal cancer cell, deadly to itself and to the whole. Thus the surgeon dare leave no cancer in the body when he closes the wound after a delicate operation. We dare leave no self-centered person on earth after the selection process. Sort of interesting that this demon tells Barbara Marx Hubbard, and she records it in this book, that there's coming into the world a one-world religious system. The whole goal of that one-world religious system is going to be unity at all costs. The goal of the community will subvert the individual. And we'll have a lot more to say about that in my final session this afternoon when we talk about the coming one world religion. Well, what about the people that won't cooperate? What about the resistors? What about the absolutists? What about the fundamentalists? What about people like ourselves who don't believe that truth is found in every religion but want to follow what the Bible says? Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many there are that go that way. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Few are they which find it. What about people who believe in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What about people who believe in Acts 4, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved? Well, this demon is telling Barbara Marx Hubbard that they're like a cancer cell that has to be removed. Now, how is that removal going to happen? I think she's describing here the rapture. She's simply describing it from the demonic perspective. What the world will be left with is an explanation that goes something like this. We're moving into a great unity in the human race. And all of the people that were non-conformists have been surgically ripped out of the system.